This morning, we talk with our good friends from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, for our book picks for the week. They have traveled around the literary globe, and here they are. Connie Brooks is with us. She is the proprietor of said Battenkill Books, and Eve McNeil is the book buyer there. She joins us as well. After spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up, they join us this Tuesday morning with a terrific list. Connie and Eve, thank you so much. It's a delight to speak to both of you. Thank you.
Always good to be here.
All right. So, Connie, how are things going? You're all right? Everything going okay?
Things are going well. Yes, we're... it's been interesting. We had a water main break on Main Street in Cambridge over the weekend. So
I saw that. We got a little view of the yellow brick road, which is
cool.
Yes,
you did. That's right. Yeah. It was about a foot down. You could see our famed yellow brick road under all that asphalt.
If people want to Google that, they can probably find some articles on it. People were writing about it. It's fascinating. Anyway, let's talk about books. Where would you like to begin?
All right. Well, I'm sharing my time with Eve this morning, and I will begin with three novels and a memoir.
Okay.
And I will start with Clara and the Sun, which is the new novel by Nobel Prize for Literature recipient Kazuo Ishiguro. Ishiguro's novels, like The Remains of the Day and Never Let Me Go, as different as they are from one another, also return again and again to themes of memory, identity, and accountability. His new novel revisits those themes, though this time our story is set in the very near future and is told from the perspective of Clara. Clara is not human. She is an artificial friend and resides in a store that sells artificial friends. Clara is an astute observer of humans, and she watches carefully the behavior of those who come in to browse and of those who pass in the street outside. She remains hopeful a customer will soon choose her, and indeed, when Clara is chosen by teenager Josie, her circumstances change forever. If all of this sounds like a stretch, keep in mind that in China, robotic pals are already being marketed for children, and several tech startups are already marketing robots as companions for seniors. In what many are calling a masterpiece, Ishiguro looks at our rapidly changing modern world and examines loneliness, human frailty, and what it means to love.
It is amazing. Clara and the Sun is the first novel. All right, next up.
For my next pick, a mystery, we will go to an isolated luxury hotel in the Alps in The Sanatorium by Sarah Pierce. Half hidden by forest and overshadowed by threatening mountain peaks, the resort known as Le Sommet has always been a sinister place. Built as a sanatorium to treat tuberculosis patients, it was abandoned years ago and had fallen into disrepair. Though long plagued by troubling rumors, it has recently been renovated into a luxury hotel. Enter into the picture Detective Ellen Warner, who is only at Le Sommet because she has accepted an invitation to celebrate her estranged brother's recent engagement. Arriving in the midst of a threatening storm, Ellen is immediately on edge. Though it's a stunning retreat, something about the hotel makes her nervous, as does her brother Isaac. When Ellen wakes the following morning to discover Isaac's fiancée, Laure, has vanished without a trace, Ellen's alarm grows. With the storm cutting off access to and from the hotel, the remaining guests start to panic. Yet no one has realized that another woman has gone missing, and she's the only one who could have warned them just how much danger they're all in.
The name of the book, The Sanatorium. All right, next.
Next up is Good Eggs by Rebecca Hardiman, which is a novel full of warmth, humor, and plenty of family foibles. When Kevin Gougherty's irrepressible 83-year-old mother, Millie, is caught shoplifting in Dublin yet again, he has no choice but to hire a caregiver to keep an eye on her. Kevin, age 50, has been out of work for 2 decades while his wife travels to exotic locales for work. Kevin is already at wit's end, tending to a house full of 4 children, including his sulky, rebellious teenage daughter, Aideen, who has been caught stealing from her mother and is about to be shipped off to a new boarding school. Into the Gougherty fray steps Sylvia Senning, Millie's upbeat home aide from America, who appears at first to be their saving grace. but nothing is as it seems in this funny, endearing novel as the Gohertys face their greatest crisis yet.
The name of the book is Good Eggs by Rebecca Hardiman. All right, and the final selection for you, Connie.
Yeah, my final one is a memoir, extraordinarily moving, and it's called Between Two Kingdoms by Suleika Jawad. In the summer after graduating from college, Suleika Jawad was preparing, as they say in commencement speeches, to enter the real world. She had fallen in love and moved to Paris and was going to pursue her dream of becoming a war correspondent. The real world, she found, however, would be nothing like she imagined. It started with an itch, first on her feet, then on her legs, then like a thousand invisible mosquito bites. Next for her came the exhaustion and the six-hour nap that only deepened her fatigue. A trip to the doctor, and a few weeks shy of her 23rd birthday, a diagnosis, leukemia, with a 35% chance of survival. Just like that, the life she had imagined for herself had gone up in flames. She would spend much of the next 4 years in a hospital bed in New York, fighting for her life and chronicling the saga in a column for the New York Times. When Jawad finally walked out of the cancer ward, after countless rounds of chemo, a clinical trial, and a bone marrow transplant, she was, according to the doctors, cured. But as she would soon learn, a cure is not where the work of healing ends. It's where it begins. She had spent the past 1,500 days in desperate pursuit of one goal, to survive. And now that she had done so, she realized that she had no idea how to live. To begin to live again, Jawad embarked with her new best friend Oscar, a scruffy terrier mutt, on a 100-day, 15,000-mile road trip across the country. She set out to meet some of the strangers who had written to her during her years in the hospital. In Between Two Kingdoms, she reveals that the divide between sick and well is porous, that the vast majority of us will travel back and forth between these two worlds throughout our lives, and that often we may have to begin to live again.
The name of the memoir is Between Two Kingdoms. Sounds beautiful. All right.
Yes.
Eve, you're up.
All right. The first book I wanted to talk about is a YA book called The Gilded Ones, and it's by Namina Forna. It's an epic fantasy set in an African-inspired world. Deka, our main character, she's 16, and she's about to take part in a ceremony to determine if she'll become a member of her village or if she'll be cast out as an abomination. All girls have to submit to this blood ceremony. If their blood runs red, they're pure. But if their blood runs gold, a mark of a demon, they're left to a fate worse than death. In her northern village, Deka stands out. First, the rest of the girls are pink-cheeked, while she has her mother's brown skin of the southern provinces. Secondly, she feels things intuitively. She senses that her mother's history holds the answers, but having recently lost her mother to illness, she's cut off from her past. Then, on the day of the ceremony, the village is attacked by death shrieks, which are demons that prey on humans. On this day, Deka discovers two things. Her intuitive feelings are somehow connected to these monsters, and her blood runs gold. She is a demon. After unspeakable punishments, when the truth of her blood is shown, a mysterious woman appears. She tells Deka she can become part of an army of girls like her, demons with the ability to heal and incredible strength. They will train to hunt for death shrieks in the southern provinces. And this begins her journey. The writing on this one is just gorgeous. The world building is stunning. Forna is originally from Sierra Leone, and she draws from West African myths to create the book's universe. It's a YA novel, like I said, but it will appeal to all readers. This is a fierce story of girls owning their identity and power in a world that tries to keep them down. And this is book one in a trilogy, thank goodness.
The Gilded Ones is the name of the book. All right, next up.
Next up is The Oak Papers by James Canton, which it's a meditation on our deep connection to the oak tree. Author James Canton spends 2 years visiting an 800-year-old oak in North Essex, England, which, as he points out, was a sapling when the Magna Carta was signed. He explores the history and the lore of the oak, and he goes back again and again to this same tree. He talks with different people connected to oak trees, a painter who spends 3 years painting the same tree in all conditions, all seasons, to a modern-day green man who cares for trees on an estate. performing what is poetically referred to as haloing of oaks, where you clear around the trees so that light reaches them. And then there are the myths and the stories of dryads and hamadryads who inhabit certain trees. We learn that druid translates to oak knowledge, that they are the protectors of the sacred oaks. And then literary fascination abounds, from Ovid to Dante, Shakespeare, Keats, Wolfe, T.S. Eliot, Thomas Hardy. They're all in thrall of the magic of the oak, and he represents this beautifully. The honeywood oak, as it's known, once stood among many mighty oaks, and now it's surrounded by pines planted to replace the felled oaks, which were culled in the 1950s, which leave these footprints of mammoth ghost trees. Fascinating and inspiring, just the thing to slow us down to observe the ancient roots that reach far beyond our own lives.
The name of the book, The Oak Papers by James Canton. All right, next up.
And another tree one, but this time it's a picture book called The Wisdom of Trees, How Trees Work Together to Form a Natural Kingdom. This is by Lita Judge, another favorite of ours. This is a gorgeous nonfiction picture book about how trees are just incredible in what they do and how much life hangs on their existence. The book combines poems with the wonder of trees and great snippets of information about how these ecosystem supporters really work. And I just want to give you the flavor of the book by reading one of the poems that's in here.
Terrific.
How to speak in tree. Have you learned to speak in tree? It's very simple, like saying hi. First, find yourself a fungal partner, but feed him well or he won't help. Grow together, sharing all until your fungi reaches others. Talk of food, talk of drought, talk of danger and disease. Becoming bigger than just one tree, something more, something we. I just love this one. I love everything about it.
You heard her, fungal partner. The Wisdom of Trees, How Trees Work Together to Form a Natural Kingdom by Lita Judge. Finally.
And lastly, another picture book. This one is called The Boy Whose Head Was Filled with Stars, A Life of Edwin Hubble. And this one is by Isabel Marinov with illustrations by Deborah Marcero. So on the heels of the amazing landing on Mars, space is completely on my mind. And this one is just a beautiful picture book of the story of Hubble's life, thoughtfully written by Isabella Marinoff and so beautifully illustrated by Deborah Marcero, who we just love at the store. Edwin, in awe of the night sky, was given a telescope, as it turns out, by his grandfather in 1897 for his 8th birthday that his grandfather built himself. Edwin's father, however, did not want his son to study astronomy, and so he studied law, and he goes on to become a high school teacher and a basketball coach, but space stays on his curious mind. And eventually, he finds his way back to astronomy, of course. We learn about how the work of the brilliant astronomer Henrietta Swan Leavitt allowed Edwin to calculate the distance between the Earth and the blinking star in the Andromeda Nebula, confirming it was not part of our galaxy, but in a galaxy beyond our own. He is set upon a life of discovering more galaxies of all shapes, which leads him to discover that the universe is expanding. Mind blown. Full of wonder and inspiration, this book shows how our dreams can yield amazing results beyond anything we can imagine.
The name of the book
for me.
Excellent. The name of the book is The Boy Whose Head Was Filled with Stars, The Life of Edwin Hubble. All right, Connie, anything else you'd like us to know?
Gosh, we're still curbside up here in Cambridge, waiting for the staff to get all vaccinated so that we can reopen. But we're already looking ahead to Fiction Book Club April 1st. We'll be discussing a novel called Greenwood by Michael Christie, when we're already excited about Independent Bookstore Day, which is coming up on April 24th. So lots of plans and excitement in the works.
Terrific. Well, for more information on the Battenkill books, on Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, you can go to their website, battenkillbooks.com. Battenkillbooks.com. Connie Brooks and Eve McNeil, I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. It's always a pleasure to speak to you both. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Be well. Again, you can find the complete book list, if I make it through it here, you can find the complete book list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You can find the information on their website as well, battenkillbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.